From the LifeWord studios, this is Life Perspectives with Michael Goring.
Joining me today is award-winning international singer, actress, Mary Milbon. Mary, welcome to the program. I've looked forward to this.
Well, I am so glad to be with you, Michael, and thank you for having me. What a wonderful way to launch the year with a new show on an incredible platform that's reaching millions of people for the glory of God. Congratulations to you, and it's great to be
thank
with you.
Thank you. I'm, as we were talking before we came on camera, you know, it's all about being vessels for the Lord and being used for His glory, and so this is what this program is all about. Yes. And getting life perspectives from people of faith. And you have built an incredible career as a singer, as an actress. Mary, how has your faith guided your journey in the entertainment industry?
Well, I tell you, there's a beautiful verse in the Bible that says, it is in Him we live and move and have our being. And that has been one of the guiding forces in whatever hat that I am being asked to wear by the Father. You know, as long as you keep yourself anchored in the Father and humbled and submitted to the Father, He'll use you anywhere in whatever hat, whatever platform, whatever capacity, via the gifts that He's given us. And so I tell you, Michael, that has been such a driving force for me to always remember wherever God takes me, it's in Him I live and move and have my being. That, as the Bible says, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in us. So that same power that Jesus has, it is at work right now in all of us. And if we continue to obey and submit and humble ourselves before the Father, that same power can do extraordinary things through all of us. You know, that those beautiful verses that speak to the exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, those things that we could never imagine that God would use us for, He will do it. As long as we stay in Him, I live and move and have my being. So,
you know, and they're not just words, right? They're living. They're living, and they bring life into us if we submit to Him and are obedient to Him.
That's right. Well, He's the living Word, Michael, and I tell you, you're exactly right. The Word of God, it is alive, a living, breathing blueprint for all of our lives. And if we see it that way, just as you said, see it as a blueprint of life, a living blueprint, then, I tell you, we'll do extraordinary things for the Father.
And you are doing extraordinary things for the Father. In a world where entertainment can sometimes feel disconnected from personal values, how do you ensure that your faith is a core part of your professional life and not something that you compartmentalize?
It's a great question. It's a great word, compartmentalize, because I think in a lot of times, you know, being in entertainment, being in politics, being in areas where there is a constant push to separate life as a person of faith, your life as a politician, or your life as an entertainer. You know, I thank God for my mother, who as a retired minister, who was in music pastor in the ministry for over 30 years, but she drilled in us as kids, you know, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, you glorify the Lord and you be bold, not in an irreverent way, but just not being afraid to profess, I am a woman of faith. I am a man of faith. In your instance, my brother, who there are three girls and one boy. And so she would admonish us as girls, you're a woman of faith. My brother, you're a man of faith. And so wherever you go, you take the Father with you. My pastor says this all the time, and I love this statement. He says, don't ever go into any room where you can't take Jesus. You know, you should never be afraid to go in any room, on any stage, in any country, any place without taking the Father with you. And so, Michael, it was never a question for me. I'll tell you, I had to certainly mature in this place, understanding that there was no separation. And I thank the Father that He was patient with me as He was blessing me in areas and career. I finally got to a place where I said, you know what? I am not going to be nervous or unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ and unashamed about, in a reverent way, sharing the love of Jesus and sharing my testimony of faith. And I tell you, God has blessed me in tremendous ways to do that as an entertainer, certainly my fluidity in American politics. But I just thank God for that, because we as artists, I think we have one of the greatest jobs, is that we can be on bipartisan, apolitical platforms and share messages of hope, share messages of love, share messages of faith that we certainly need now in a way that is unlike any profession. That's the power of music. That's the power of the arts. That's the power of being able to share in diverse environments and diverse platforms what is our commonality. And that is, we are all children of God. And so I'm grateful. Well,
and let's touch on that for a moment. I became familiar with you through your performance singing the national anthem at the Republican National Convention in 2024. And it seems like we're living in such a divisive time in this country. You've sung for four presidents, President George W. Bush, Barack Obama, Donald Trump, and Joe Biden. Music has the power to bring people together. From your perspective, how does your music reflect your faith, and how do you use that to inspire other people?
Well, thank you for that question. And it's been the greatest honor, Michael, of my life to have just been really thrown into this career of singing in American politics for four consecutive presidents. And I tell you, it's I don't take it lightly. It's an assignment that the Father gave me and still has given me to do. And I tell you, there's no better joy than to sing, get up every day, go to bed every night, inspiring the country and the world in the context of God and country. I have this great life where I get to sing the national anthem and patriotic music on a daily, weekly basis. And there's something that's very, it connects us all. You know, when you sit down and take away all of the differences and all of the things that keep us divided, we can really see that we are so much more connected and the same. And that first being children of God, but also that love of country. And that's what the Lord gave me in this career of singing the anthem and patriotic music, is finding ways to remind us as Americans, certainly now in my profession of singing global anthems, where I've been so blessed to sing the Indian national anthem, the Brazilian national anthem, the Israeli national anthem, the UAE national anthem, countries across the world. And no matter what the language, no matter the culture, no matter the country, encouraging us as human beings, as citizens of God, to love God and love your country. And that has not only inspired me, but it's been such a blessing to take that and inspire the world. And I'm very grateful for my interfaces that I've had with our American presidents, serving as a White House appointee for President Bush first, and then being thrown into this career of singing our patriotic music now for four presidents, and soon here again as the inaugural week approaches for the fifth. And so I just thank the Lord for that. And I pray, as long as I'm alive and breathing, that I continue to have the opportunity to do this, to have a career using music as a vehicle to unite us and remind us that we're all children of God, we're all Americans, and we're all global citizens that can be used for the kingdom of God. So
yeah, that's a great perspective, a great outlook. Your career spans, as you touched on a moment ago, a wide range of performances, intimate concerts to large public events. Mary, how do you balance the demand for entertainment with your desire to make a meaningful impact through your faith and through the message of the song?
Yeah, that's so great. You know, I tell you, I always approach every opportunity, whether it's a song that's presented for me to sing, a platform for me to be on, a country to visit, the context of performing, I always approach it in prayer first, Michael. I sit down and I ask first, Father, is this your will? And that's my encouragement to anyone watching. You know, when you're presented with opportunities stop and just ask the Father, you know, is it your will? Because there's a difference between good opportunities and great opportunities. Good opportunities, great opportunities, God opportunities. And so I always stop and just start with prayer and say, Father, is this your will? And once I have clearance from the Father that, yes, this is a message that I'm supposed to sing. Yes, this is a stage that I'm supposed to be on. Yes, this is a country or a relationship in the context to foster for the work that God has called me to do. Then I pursue it wholeheartedly. And I always go back to, you know, your question, what is the message? What am I being asked? Not to sell, but to encourage in the hearts of people across the world. There's a difference between that philosophy, a difference between that perspective. What you sell and what you inspire and challenge and encourage in someone has very different results. And so that's one approach that I always have with music is when I sit down with a song or a message, you know, I go underneath that lyric or that melody or that message and say, Father, what's your message in this? What are you asking me to challenge or encourage or share with the audiences that I'm in front of, with the countries that you're putting me in front of? And many times, Michael, I'm in countries that have a dominant different religion, you know, or, you know, certainly a different language. And so that's always also a focal point. You know, when I'm asked to sing an anthem of a country, the first thing I sit down and do is learn the language to an extent so that I'm not only learning the song or the anthem, but I'm learning the people. Language is the first.
That's incredible.
To the people, yeah. And so that's where you find the messages of God, you know, when you take that time to sit down and pray and meditate and approach it from, Father, what is your message in this? What are you asking me to encourage, to challenge, to share to the hearts of the people that I am placed in front of?
Yeah. Can you share a moment, Mary, a specific moment when your faith helped you navigate a challenging situation in your career or in your life?
Wow, yeah, we could sit all day and talk about that, Michael. I tell you, oh my goodness, there have been many. I tell you, probably one of the main ones that I would refer to is the most transitional period of my life when I was working as a young staffer, a White House presidential appointee for President Bush, Bush 43. And our term, our positions were ending as President Obama was coming in as the new president. And I had a very different plan. I was headed to, you know, the Kennedy School at Harvard to do a master's in public policy. I was headed in this very aggressive, what I thought, career in politics and, you know, all of that. And the Lord had a completely different agenda for me that I did not recognize. And it was thanks to President Bush and First Lady Laura Bush and some great people that were around me at the time who saw this God-given gift in me to sing. In fact, my last year of working for President Bush as a staffer, I was singing at Christmas parties and events. And little did I know that those little moments were turning a career and a whole nother professional journey in me that I had no idea was going to bloom. And so when our jobs left or ended and President Obama came in, I had to sit down and say, Father, what do you ask me to do? I was presented with two avenues, to go in and pursue a life and do music and entertainment or take the route that I had planned myself and go into graduate school and politics. And I remember that moment was the most, it was a very tough moment for me because I had to make a very big decision that would change the course of my life. And it took a lot of prayer, a lot of fasting and praying. And I chose this path, which, you know, had a lot of fears. You know, I was not studying music or, I wasn't one of those teenage kids that said, I want to be on Broadway or I want to be a star of music. You know, I was not there, you know. And so it, to me, choosing that avenue that the Lord was really choosing for me was going to require a lot of work and sacrifice and face a lot of fears. But I tell you, Michael, I would have never thought in a million years at that moment that this is where I would be today. And it was the faith that of my grandmother and my mother and their prayers. those ancient prayers, that ancient faith that the Bible speaks about, that was my anchor in that moment of transition. And I encourage everybody watching this, you know, you can use my testimony as a stimulant for where you are. Trust God in those transition moments. Trust God. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path.
Yeah.
And it's that verse has also been a guiding light for me. It was then when I was in that transition moment, and it certainly has become my guiding light today.
As I'm listening to you to share that, I'm reminded of Joshua.
Yes.
And Joshua chapter 1, God says to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Yes. Now you go and lead the people into the promised land.
Yes.
And he had a plan and purpose for Joshua, and Joshua was obedient.
Yes.
And I think about that scripture all the time about how had Joshua not been obedient, things would have been different.
Yes.
And had you not been obedient to the Lord leading you, his ways are not always our ways. That was another thing that I was thinking of listening to you. You had other plans. God said, actually, this is what you're going to do. And you are having a tremendous impact, not only in America, in American politics, but internationally, globally. You're known for your leadership. You're known for your advocacy. How does your Christian faith influence your approach to leadership and advocacy?
Well, thank you for that question. And I tell you, I love what you said. You hit on some of my favorite verses and areas in the Bible, certainly when it speaks to, you know, the Father. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. That was something the Lord reminded me of in my prayer time this morning. And they are. And I tell you, when you tap into the rhythm of the Holy Spirit, you tap into the sensories of the Father.
Mm.
When you pray and say, Father, help me to see as you see. Father, help me to hear as you hear. Father, help me to say what you want me to say. When you tap into the supernatural, the sensories of the Father, then it puts you in a different level of leadership. It puts you in a different height of leadership. And that has been a consistent prayer of mine everywhere the Father takes me, no matter how wide or how high. I say, Father, help me see as you see. Help me hear as you hear. Help me say what you would want me to say. Give me the sensories of the Father so that wherever you take me and however high you take me, I'm always an ambassador of the Father first. Before I'm an ambassador of America, before I'm an ambassador, a culture ambassador to different parts of the world, I'm an ambassador of heaven. And the beauty of that is that when you represent the Father in your work, then you will see people as God sees them. You will hear people as God hears them. You will be able to listen and receive as God does. And that allows you to have a level of impact and leadership and work that sometimes is not understandable to the naked eye or the naked ear, but it will be certainly the context of what the Spirit of the Lord is doing. And so that's always been my prayer. It certainly is my prayer this year as the Father is putting me in new environments and areas of the world, is Father, help me see as you see, help me hear as you hear, help me say what you would have me to say, in whatever language you would have me to say it in. Help me to say it, Father, as you would say it.
So. Yeah. Well, you know, we serve a God who whose kingdom is not limited by boundaries, and he's a global kingship. Yes. And so it makes perfect sense that he is using you to be a global ambassador for him. Looking into the future, what projects or causes are you most passionate about exploring next?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I tell you, in this journey of singing and certainly representing the Lord in different parts of the world, that's something that I certainly just pray to continue in whatever way God has for me. I'm very interested in whatever the Father wants me to do more extensively globally. I am a global citizen at heart. I love my country. I love America. But even more so, I am a global citizen at heart. And so the Lord has given me some great relationships with certainly the Prime Minister of India, Prime Minister Modi. And so I'm looking forward to returning to India this year to do some things musically, but also to connect in some important causes that have to do with children and women empowerment, and certainly religious freedom. That's very important to me in places where particularly there's been some difficulty with religions, and particularly Christians, being embraced fully. And so I'm very vocal about that, certainly across the world. But I'm looking forward to spending some time in India again this year. I'm going to sing for the first time in Australia with President Malie, who's the new president of Australia. So it's a wonderful opportunity there. Returning to Africa again this year, returning to China and some areas across Asia. So I'm excited about that, those musical things, but also whatever the Father would have me do as an instrument of peace, as an instrument of hope, as an instrument of his love to the world. And I think musically, you know, I tell you, I love live music. I am a live singer, but it's hard to get me to sit down in a studio and record music because it's not my favorite thing to do. But finally, I've had enough people convince me to do it. So this year I will have actually my first album. People always ask me this, how in the world is it that you don't have an album or music out? But I've had a few singles that have come over the years, but this will actually be my first full album that will...
Is the album going to be patriotic, Christian music? What a mixture?
It will be a mixture, really a focus of God and country. So it will have a mixture of all of those themes. But I'll tell you, Michael, a lot of it will have the collective conversation of the Father and love, my love of Jesus Christ, and certainly what I've been called to do as an instrument of his peace, as an instrument of his love, as an instrument of his hope to the world. And so I'm excited. It'll have a mix of patriotic, a mix of some good old Broadway classics and other things. It'll have a mix of even some songs in other languages that countries that I certainly love and want to do diligence with. So I'm excited. And I'll make sure I share it with you so that you and your
listeners. Yes, absolutely. We'd love to promote that. As you were talking a few moments ago, talking about religious liberty, religious freedom, and being someone who has had experience in the policy arm of things, what ways would you encourage believers watching to this program to be involved, to engage, advocating for religious freedom, religious liberty? How would you encourage everyday believers to do that?
Well, I tell you, do not grow weary in well-doing first. I know it can be tough to live in places in the world where you don't have the fluidity of religious freedom or liberties. That's why people, are on all types of avenues to experience America, because we are the land of the free. We're the home of the brave. We are the greatest example of a democracy, because here you have religious freedom. You can worship as you desire. And certainly in the context of us as believers, and thank God, certainly I say this in the context of President Trump being reelected, I feel that there is a return to reverence for the Lord and principles and biblical truths in our country that we have gotten so far away from. And so I'm grateful and hopeful that with President Trump's election, that will continue these next 4 years as we work to re-educate and build back in biblical truth, biblical principles into our everyday life and living and policy. But I tell you, I encourage believers watching to not lose faith, to not grow weary in well-doing. Know that there are people, myself and all across America, that are praying for you and wherever you live across the world. And know that in these times that we live, while we face much persecution in areas across the world for speaking up and saying we believe in the name of Jesus, there is also a great revival of the Lord that I have personally seen. I'm sure you've seen it, Michael, and others are seeing across the world where the gospel of Jesus Christ is being reached in places that have never heard the gospel.
Yes.
And you're seeing a great revival and hunger for the Lord starting to happen. And I encourage believers watching it from different parts of the world to take that as a sign that the Spirit of the Lord is at work. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom. So yes. The Spirit of the Lord is at work. And that liberty and freedom that is a part of the Spirit is coming, is available. And do not lose heart. Do not get weary. We all have a great work to do. And so take some cues from those in the scriptures, you know, who were called to, in the book of Acts, to go and take up then the mantle and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Know that the Father has equipped all of us as believers to be his mouthpiece, to be his voice, to be his eyes and his ears, wherever we go. And you watching today, you have that same authority. You have that same, all of those gifts that you're equipped to do. And be encouraged that God is using all of us in this time to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'm excited, Michael. I see revival happening across the world just as much as I see what God is doing here in America. I really see it happening across the world in ways that certainly lets us know that the Lord's return is near.
Yes.
But that many hearts are coming to know Jesus Christ. And that is, that makes me excited.
You know, I've had conversations recently. Yesterday I was talking with a believer who was on Broadway for about 16 years.
Yes.
He said the exact same thing that you said, Larry Wayne Morbit from Phantom of the Opera.
Yes, from the greatest.
Yes, Larry said the exact same thing that you just mentioned. Was it seems like with President Trump coming back into office, that the Lord is saying, "I'm giving you a reprieve."
Yes,
I'm giving America an opportunity once again to seek after me, to humble ourselves, to pray.
Yes.
You know, the scripture says, Second Chronicles, if my people who are calling my name will humble themselves, seek my face,
yes,
I will hear from heaven and I will heal the land. And,
yes,
and then I had a chance encounter a few months ago, at, not to name drop, but with Hulk Hogan,
the
wrestler,
the greatest.
Talking and I turned to leave the conversation, and he grabbed a hold of my arm and he pulled me back in. There's a lot of people standing around, and he knew I was a pastor. And he goes, "I want you to know that President Trump is all about putting God first in our country again, and your interaction with the president." And then what you're saying now just further solidifies in my mind that if God's people, those, yeah, of us that are professing believers, if we will seek after the Lord, if we'll humble ourselves,
and turn
for our wicked way, God is going to heal this land, and we're going to experience a great spiritual awakening again. And so, Mary, those words that you just spoke, it encourages me. I hope it encourages those watching tonight that God is at work, it's not too late for America.
It's not too late for America. And I'm so glad that you had those wonderful exchanges with Hulk Hogan and Larry and those that are also being used by the Lord in great ways with their platforms. And I tell you, you're exactly right, Michael. I am so grateful that the Lord gave us another chance. I'll say that in the context of this election, where I praise God that President Trump and the First Lady were elected. I praise God that we've been given another chance in the context of bringing the Lord back to the forefront of our country. And I tell you, I've seen such a boldness in churches and communities of believers where it has been tough, I think, these last 4 years or however many years to speak the name of Jesus or be bold in your faith or what have you. I see just a resurgence of boldness in the hearts of believers to be unashamed for Jesus and to speak loudly and reverently and with the love of Christ and whatever you're called to do on this earth. And so I agree with you, Michael. I President Trump, in my almost 10 years performing for him, I see a different man than the first day I met him many years ago. And some of that I believe is life, you know, with these assassination attempts and other things
sure.
and affected his life. God has preserved him, legitimately preserved him.
Yeah.
And he has a different understanding, I believe, of this term and stewarding it differently. And also the role that he will play in elevating the name of Jesus, the role that he will play in elevating God. And I can tell every person that's watching here on your show and this network that that is the truth, that despite whatever has been presented, the way God has used and is going to continue to use President Trump, that is part of the will of God.
Yeah, and it's not to say that any of this is going to be not met with challenges and with spiritual battles. I mean, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the forces of evil in the heavenly places. We are in a spiritual battle, Mary. And so it's really a rallying cry for believers to put on the whole armor of God, to take up the sword of faith, which is the word of God, and to proclaim it. Mary, I am so thankful for this opportunity to have this deep discussion of faith, and I'm just grateful for you and that God has placed you in the spheres of influence that he has to bring about the proclamation of the gospel.
Wow.
Mary, so, thank you.
Oh, thank you for allowing me to dialogue with you and be with you on your show. And I'm going to be praying for you, Pastor Michael, and praying for all that God is doing in you and using this show and this platform to share the love and the hope of Jesus Christ with so many millions of people across the world. And taste and see that the Lord is good. There are great things that are coming for America, great things that are coming for our world.
Yes.
And I will continue to pray that God uses you in a great way.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
To learn more about Mary Milbon, visit marymilbon.com. I'm Michael Goring. This has been Life Perspectives. Thanks for watching.